Praise the Lord Jesus. This is Thurman Scrivener again today with the Living Savior Ministries. Let's praise the King. Father, in the name of Jesus, we worship you and praise you and thank you for being our King, our Lord, and our God. What a mighty God you are. And we worship you and praise you and thank you for the day. Lord, as the word goes out today, I ask you to reveal the truth of your mighty word to men and women so they may learn how to be free from the curses and how they may walk in the blessings. And Lord, I ask you to inspire them to study your word, to learn these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. It's a great day today. We're talking about the blessings and the curses. And we just left off yesterday that we're talking about blessings and curses that they'll have origins. Many of them will have origins in your past generations. Now, there may be things that may not be explainable in your own lifetime, good or bad. Now, the main vehicle of blessings and curses is words. That is so very important. Because as we talked about yesterday in Proverbs, many places, the Lord is talking about the tongue. And then yesterday also, we went a little bit and looked at the New Testament in James chapter 3, verse 5 through 10 there, talking about the tongue. Now, I want you to think about, even though the tongue is such a little member, and yet your tongue boasts such great things, it will set a forest fire on fire. A forest on fire. But I want you to think about this verse 6 in James 3, and said the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. I want you to notice there that in that you will be able to control your whole body with your tongue. If you will learn how to talk, you can literally control your entire body. It'll walk in health. It'll be able to do all kinds of things for you. It will be able to work, produce, develop great and wonderful things, all because of your tongue. You learned how to talk. So whatever you do, learn how to talk. Let only good things come out of your mouth so that you can be blessed. Now then, words are not the only way blessings or curses come. Physical objects absolutely have a part in this. Now, there is many, many scriptures that confirm this, and I'm going to read a couple to you today to get started here, and we're going to start in Exodus chapter 30. Now, then, here in Exodus chapter 30, verse 22, actually for about 10 verses there, I've decided not to read all those because it takes too much time. But I'm just going to summarize to you what the Lord said there. Actually, what he's saying here in Exodus 30, verses 22 through about 33, he was telling you how to make the anointing oil. Now, in the New Testament, he tells us to anoint the sick with oil and pray the prayer of faith for their healing. Now, Leviticus tells you how to apply this oil for the blessings to come. So, as he tells us how to make the anointing oil and apply it for the blessings to come, in the New Testament, in 1 Corinthians 10:16, we see the cup of blessing and the bread is the vehicle through which we receive the blessings by faith. In other words, we take communion in the New Testament. Now then, on the contrary, in 1 Corinthians 11:29-30, we see how the judgment is passed on to us. So it is blessings or curses. So see, there's either blessings or curses even in the New Testament. He clearly tells us before we take communion, first of all, if you're not a born-again Christian, don't take it. If you are a born-again Christian and you do not have all your sins confessed, don't take it because it will bring judgment upon you, which will bring more than likely sickness and disease to your life. Make sure that you have all your sins confessed and that you're walking holy before God before you even think about taking communion. Now, it's amazing how that in Numbers chapter 5, verses 11 through 31, it describes how objects condemn a woman that has been unfaithful to her husband. Now then, if you've never read that, it's really interesting to go back and read that and think, if a woman truly had been unfaithful to her husband and she had been accused of it, why in the world would she go through with this little gesture here? Because in Numbers 5:11 and on, it describes how objects condemn a woman that has been unfaithful to her husband. Now then, after you read that, if you had been unfaithful to your husband and you were a woman, I can't imagine you continuing to lie and let them do that, because it's going to bring a curse upon you. Absolutely going to bring a curse upon you. Now in Exodus 20 verse 4, it is the second of the Ten Commandments, and there is an endless number of ways to break this and have a curse come upon you. Now then, let's go back and look at that just a second. Now listen to what the Word of God says here. In Exodus 20 verse 4, it says, "Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." Now that will absolutely bring a curse upon you, and I can imagine the people that have graven images, that where Jesus is around their neck, you name it. You have pictures of Jesus on their wall and their homes. That we have no pictures of Jesus. We don't know what he looked like. So I would not personally have any kind of a picture or a statue, anything that represents Jesus in my home. But Jesus wouldn't even let them cut stones to put when they made an altar. They had to use uncut stones, one that a chisel had never been laid on. So, since he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, I don't think that I would want to break any of these commandments, because there is an endless number of ways to break this Exodus 20, verse 4 and 5. I mean, there's so many I couldn't even begin to think of about explaining them, ways that you can have objects that represent Jesus or God. And the Lord says, don't have these things. Now, many people have tattoos on their body. You know, God tells you not to do that either. So, if you're a Christian and you have never had a tattoo put on you, then for goodness sakes, please don't go out and have your body marked up, because God commands you not to do it. Now, if you have had tattoos already put on your body, ask God to forgive you for doing that. And then for whatever you do, don't do it again. Now then, let's look at some of the ways you can tell if you're under a curse. There's always lots of people say, well, how do I know if I'm under a curse? Or if my family is under a curse? Well, one of these ways from all of these scriptures that are laid out, which we're going to read many of those in the days to come. Number one, if you have mental and or emotional breakdowns. This is not normal. This is something abnormal, and this is a demonic curse that causes that. There's scriptures to back up whenever different men had a spirit of mental illness come upon them. If you have repeated or chronic sicknesses, especially if the doctor tells you it's hereditary, now then that should be the first sign to you that something's wrong if the doctor says, well, you have this hereditary problem in your family. No, that's a demon. That's a curse that's come upon you, and those demons are following along from generation to generation. But you can stop that in the name of Jesus. You do not have to put up with it. Another way to tell if you're under a curse, if you're under barrenness, in other words, you can't have any children, you have a tendency to miscarry or your related female problems. Now then, breakdowns of marriages and family alienation will indicate that you're under a curse. Or if you're accident prone. Now many people say, well, he's just an accident looking for a place to happen. If that's you, you're under a curse because of your disobedience to God. You need to get your sins confessed, need to get everything taken care of, and repent and break the curse. Now then, if you have a history of suicides and unnatural and untimely deaths in your family somehow, some way, or parts of you are under a curse. So you need to break these curses. Now then, in Deuteronomy 28:34, it says, confusion of heart or of mind, a trembling heart or an anxious mind, and then anguish of soul or a despairing heart. Now the areas affected are the heart, the soul, or the mind. The inner parts of the person has been attacked by hostile forces, which are demons. Now, some people no longer have total control of themselves. And people will say things like this, you're losing control. There is no hope for you. Your mother wound up in a mental institution, and I guess you will be there next. Now, you will be amazing at the people that will say these kind of things, and they'll say them because they don't realize what they're saying. Now, there's two key words that's been spoken here that let you know that you're under some kind of a curse, and that is confusion and depression. And those words are used quite a bit, and if you'll mix those things in with some kind of occultic practices that you've been involved with, you'll understand why you're confused and you're depressed. Because, and it's again, you may have to know what these things were to be able to revoke them and confess and repent them, repent of those things. You may have to know what they were that you've done before you can absolutely get that demon that goes with that curse out of you. Now then, if you know what that curse is, and if you don't know, you can ask the Father in the name of Jesus and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal it to you. And if He will, then when He reveals it to you, you can repent of that sin, cast out that demon, and you can get free. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to call me for complete teachings on these subjects at 940-242-2106. Also like to invite you out to our church at 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. 10921 Shady Trail in North Dallas. We have church every Sunday afternoon from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. And then every second Saturday of the month, we have a healing school that starts at 1 p.m. to 5. We'll teach you about all these things and teach you how to walk free from the devil and in divine health. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ.